we've been talking about, we have started a series 2 weeks ago on building a community of hope, and we are kind of plodding through, as we usually do in these series. If you've been around us for a while, you know we do plod through our series, and very rarely do we just have a four-week series, but this is going to go on because this is important. This is core values of who we are as Hope Church. I was praying about what the Lord wanted us to call this church almost 10 years ago. Actually, when I was praying about it, it was over 10 years ago. And I felt like the Lord said, I want you to build a community of hope. Build a community of hope. And not just a speaking platform. It's a community that we bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. We encourage one another daily while it is called today, as the scriptures say. That God wants us to be people. And so we talked about that we have four core values of our church, and those are love, passion, meaning zeal for the Lord, not just passion for other things, like passion for the kingdom of God, right? Passion, the word of God, and fun. Those are the foundation. So we are plodding through the love topic. We talked about it last week, but I felt like but when you just hit something, you just need to stay with it, where the Lord, I believe, wants to speak and bring some truth. Because understand, when we talk about the love of God, this is the thing, right? This is it. Like, really, we should have one core value, and it's love. And it's going to manifest in these other ways, right? It is the love of God. And so we're going to take another week and talk about the love of God. We talked last week. We said love is kind of interesting. It's an interesting word, especially in the English language, because I love pizza, I love steak, I love sushi, I love fishing, I love hiking, and I love Julie. Yeah, not in that order, and not even the same. I love my church, I love my friends, I love the Falcons. God help us all. Falcons, the Braves, the Hawks, and Atlanta United starts today. So I love all of that stuff. And in all of that, I love pizza and I love God, too. God, you get put in there somewhere, right? And I also know that somehow God loves me. But does he love me like I love the Falcons? Which is some days good and some days bad. Does he love me like I love pizza? Or how does that all work together, right? So we talked about, we did a launch scripture last week, and it was 1 John chapter 3 and verse 1. And it says, see. Everybody say, see.
See.
See. Everybody say it again. Say, see.
See.
See what great love the Father has given us, that we should be called God's children. And we are. The reason that the world does not know us is that they didn't, And the reason the world does not know us is that it didn't know him. So this is an invitation. John is giving us an invitation to receive the love of God. And he says it this way. He goes, I want you to see it. And so we put a couple of pictures up last week. If you remember the pictures that we put up, if you want to go and flash those up there. We put these three pictures up there. Remember these? We said each one of those, we looked at the lion. And we talked about when you see that lion, it stirs something in you, right? And what does that stir? Maybe a couple of things real quick. Strength. Focus. What's that? Run. Yeah. If you're the one he's staring at, run is a really good option. And then we talked about the middle one. What about the middle one? What does that stir real quick? Peace, right? It stirred in me that I wanted to go fishing. That's what it stirred in me. And then the baby, what does that stir in you? Aww, yeah. And some of y'all went, it's expensive. So, but when you see, leave those up there. When you see those pictures, when you see something, it stirs something in you. Right? So John is giving us an invitation to see. He's giving us an invitation, says, and the King James, the good old King James, it says, behold. What manner of love the Father has given to us, that we should be called children of God, right? So he's saying, I want you to see it. And when you see it, I want it to stir something in you. And actually what he's inviting you into is, as you may have never seen this before. And it's a continual seeing, right? That as we see, it's going to stir something. And so to the degree that we understand the love of God, it's going to stir more things in us. Right? So when we talk about, we talked about how last week, how love is not based on when we see the love of God and it stirs things in us. When we understand that the love of God is not based on a contract. You do this, and then I'll do this. If you hold up this end of the bargain, then I'll owe, right? No, the love of God falls outside of that category. The love of God says, I love you regardless. Regardless. He says, I want you to see and comprehend. And so when we talk about how God loves us, if we don't see the love of God clearly, then we'll misunderstand and we won't experience. You understand that the love of God is something not just to know, it's to experience. Right? Because if it just stays here on this, you know, level of intellect, yes, I know that the Lord loves me, and you don't experience the love of God, then I would venture to say you've never really seen it for yourself. So what we're going to do this morning is, actually, I'm going to get Julie, you have the mic, to come up. There's the mic right there. And we're going to talk about this in a little bit of a different kind of way, and Julie's going to speak tag.
I know what I'm doing. Okay. All right. Good. All right. I want to just share a little bit of a story of a guy from the Old Testament. His name was Elijah. And Elijah, he was the guy. Like, he was bold. He was strong. He was a prophet during really, really tough times and like really evil leadership and stuff. Like, he was the voice of God. So one day, and this is in 1 Kings, none of these scriptures are going to be up there. So if you have your Bible, you can flip to it. It's 1 Corinthians 17. Basically everybody was so bad that one day Elijah said, listen, it's not going to rain for a really long time, like years, okay? It's going to be a drought. And in those times, like, a drought was like the end of the world. Like, it was really, really bad because they were an agriculture. They'd plant things and then it would grow and then they could eat, right? So a drought was really, really bad. So Elijah said, because of the king, they were like the worst kings of all, King Ahab and his queen Jezebel, bad. Like, really, 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 just trust me, really bad. And so they go and actually, Ahab's wife Jezebel hated God. And so here they go through, and Elijah comes, the prophet, he comes, and, you know, there's all this tension, all these things happen. Then he says it's not going to rain for a really long time. Then in 1 Kings 18, verse 1, it says, later on, in the third year of the drought, so this went on for 3 years, the Lord said to Elijah, go present yourself to the king. He goes, presents himself to the king. All this tension and drama ensues. And then there is this showdown between the prophets of Baal, which are the god that, like, Jezebel and Ahab was swept up into worshiping. So they worshiped all these other gods. So they would do these sacrifices and all this crazy stuff. So Elijah comes and says, listen, let's just settle this, all right? In fact, why don't you guys go ahead and I'll let you go first, and you pray to your God, I'll pray to my God, we'll see who answers. So they go and do their sacrifice, do all their things, do all their ceremony, all the prophets of Baal, and for like a long, 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 long time, excuse me, long time, nothing, and then nothing happens. And then Elijah says, okay, well, right there, let's take this and we're going to sacrifice to God, but no need for any fire or anything like that. God's going to provide it. In fact, why don't you go ahead and just cover it in water? Because, like, things don't really catch fire when there's water, right? And so so he's like, all right, let's just do all this. And so Elijah says, it's fine because, you know, I know the real God. So, and then Elijah prays, what fire shoots down from heaven, consumes the sacrifice, consumes all the prophets of Baal. And so like, it was like, God showed up. All right. That's the point. God showed up. Then in the same breath in right here in 1 Kings 18, verse 41, then Elijah goes and he says, all right, we're going to pray that it's going to rain again. Now, again, it hasn't rained. And James, it says it didn't rain for 3 years and 6 months. So 3.5 years of no rain. And Elijah says, all right, I'm going to pray and it's going to rain. So he prays and it rains and it's like salvation, right? So like, it was miraculous, right? So two like huge, like these would be the moments of our life that we would be the proudest of, right? This is like him doing his thing that he was called to do and like totally affirmed by God in like the most public, just amazing way. So then in chapter 19, 1 Kings 19, then Ahab went home, told his wife Jezebel what happened, and Jezebel sends a message to Elijah and says, "I'm gonna kill you. I'm gonna kill you the same way you killed all of my prophets, and by this time tomorrow you're gonna be dead." Right. So here Elijah is like on this high pinnacle of his life, right? And then if you look in verse 3, it says Elijah was afraid and fled for his life. He went on, verse 4, he went on alone to the wilderness, to a solitary broom tree, and prayed that he would die. Okay, so here we got this guy, like he is at the pinnacle of everything. Everything that's like, this was the best moments of his life, and suddenly he's like isolating himself, he's praying he would die. Like, that's like depression, right? Like, I mean, really, he was despairing of his life. So he says, verse 4, it says, I've had enough, Lord. He says, take my life, for I'm no better than my ancestors have already died. So he goes, and God speaks to him, and then God says, all right, I'm going to take care of you, does these other things. It's really awesome. You should read it. And then in verse 10 at the end, Elijah's complaining back to God and says, I'm the only one left, and now they're trying to kill me too. So he really has slipped into from this amazing high of God showing up in the most supernatural way, and here he is like despairing and just wants to die, right? Almost in the same like kind of same breath. So then we go through and God speaks to him, and this is in just this supernatural ways God speaks to him. But then in verse 18, God says this, yet I will preserve 7,000 others in Israel who have never bowed to Baal or kissed him. So Elijah says in verse 10 that he's the only one left. And God says, no, I have 7,000 other ones left. So what happened to Elijah? Was what he was feeling and experiencing true? No, it wasn't true or accurate. Something distorted the way he was seeing what was happening, right? And so many times when we talk about the love of God in the same way that this happened to Elijah, things get distorted in our lives and our perception of the love of God, the way we receive the love of God. So what are some things? It's almost like a lens. So I brought my sunglasses here. And so it's almost like a lens that we have, this lens that we see things through. So we see things like this. So what does this do? This kind of darkens things. So I can see some, but I can't quite see everything. It also, these are colored, so all my colors are off. So everything looks kind of brown, a little tinted and stuff in different ways, right? Because I'm looking through this lens. What we have when we say love, when we say experiencing God's love, we have a lens that we look through. And many times that lens that we look through that colors or taints, and actually these are a little bit dirty. I need to clean them, so it's smudgy. So none of you are really like all the way clear, and like everyone kind of like in the lower quadrant of my view over here is a little smudgy and stuff. And so, but the same way, what taints our experience, our understanding of God's love, the way we see God's love, what taints it? because we're always trying to figure out like how to categorize and how to understand these things. Like love is one of those concepts that I think I like, tell me to define love. And I'd be like, well, it's because I love, right? You know, but can you use the same word in a definition, Jessica? When you're defining a word, you can't, can you? No, you can't. You can't. So I'm trying to say love. Okay, so love, I care for someone. That's not quite deep enough. I lay down my life. Yeah, it's kind of like what you do, you know. And then, so we're trying to like define it. So what do? We look for a category. We look for something that it's kind of like, so that we can put it in some kind of way that our brain can comprehend it. So the way we filter God's love is through our experiences with others. So for some of us, the way we understand God's love for us is through our relationship. Maybe the relationship we had with our parents, which could be really good. It could be really bad. It could be 70% good and 30% bad. You know, it could be like it's all on a sliding scale, right? So if that's the lens that I look at God's love for me, then that's not all the way pure. It is tainted because how many parents do you have in the room? How many of you have raised your children perfectly? How many parents in here have regrets? I raise my hand. I have regrets, right? You know, and so like we are not perfect. All you young people that don't have kids yet or older people that don't have kids yet, like parents are messed up. We are messed up. We are a wreck doing the best we can with what we've got, right? And so it is the truth. We just do the best we can. So, but we are imperfectly trying to communicate love to these children that are out of control, you know, like you just do the best you can do, right? And so but in the same way, though, we see that love, God's love for us through this lens of maybe our relationship with the parents. Maybe the first person who really showed you love was that boyfriend or that girlfriend when you were 15 years old, right? And then what happened? Did they stick around? For a few people, they stuck around. That like for Rick and Linda, that was their story. They've been married for a few people. That's right. Few people had that it locked down. For the rest of you, you all laughed because I know you know what that kind of love, like, I love you so much, you know, and then you're like ghosting them, right? And so where'd they go? What happened? And so that kind of, so that's love. That's my lens of love. That's how I see love, is through this relationship with someone that, like, I wasn't good enough, or they abandoned me, or I was better than them and broke up with them because I could do better, right? You know? And so that becomes the lens that we see God's love through, is our experiences. Now, that's human, but we need to realize that we have a lens. And that we will not receive, or we will receive, we'll see God's love for us as maybe like we have to just do better, right? Or maybe that was the last time, you know, that God's going to show me any mercy because I am a disappointment to everyone. Because maybe your parents, maybe you were that kid, like, you know, I was not an easy child to raise. I know this is probably hard to believe. I was not an easy child to raise. I was strong, headstrong. I made it so hard on my mother. Mom, if you're watching, I love you. Thank you. I've already apologized to her like 12 times, like for how terrible I was when I was growing up, because I was bad. I was really bad. And so I was always pushing back, always pushing back, always pushing back. And so then that relationship hard, because I was always challenging and always making it difficult for Mama, who life was already difficult for, you know. She had her own stuff she was dealing with and facing. And so my perception of love is it's a challenge, and I have to keep working harder and working harder and working harder, right? So that's the lens that I experience God's love by. is that I feel like, man, I just have to just do hard. I have to be perfect. I have to organize, get all this stuff all good and just stress and strain and strain. But that's a lens that I see God's love through. But God's love isn't something that we earn. It's something that we receive, right? So, it's time for us to take off our glasses and see God's love for what it is. So how much does God love me? How much does God love you? Is it like the same amount as like a coffee mug? Like, hold up your coffee there, Rex. Is it like that much? Because if it's that much, like, it can be consumed, right? It can be spilled, right? It can be lost. And it, you know, maybe it's more than that. Maybe it's like a whole huge pitcher of love, that he loves us like that much, that we think he loves us. That's how much love he has for us. That it's more, I mean, it can be refilled several times. And it's a lot. It's enough to like get us through the day, right? Or is it as much as like a bathtub, you know, that we can kind of like soak in a little, you know, we can whatever, but it ends. There's an amount to it, right? But it's enough that we can have a good soak in it. Or does he love us as much as a swimming pool? Like, is his love as much as a swimming pool that we could jump in and we can get immersed and maybe almost drown, right, in his love? Or does God love us as much as Lake Altoona? Is his love as big as Lake Altoona? That, like, we go there and we look out and you can't, like, see the end. Like, I can't see the end, can't see the end. Some places it's super deep. Some places it's shallow. There's all kinds of life. Like, is that how much God loves us? Or is God's love like the ocean that, like, is it's kind of scary because it's so immense. It's so huge. Like, how much do you believe God loves you? Do you think it's enough that you're just going to, like, run out? That you can, for the day, God be like, done. Is it enough that, like, you can just, like, is it just enough to get you through the day? Just enough to get you through this next thing that you're facing? Or is it so much and so much abundance that there's no way, like the ocean, that you could ever tap the end? Or how strong is God's love for you? Is it kind of like a little tiny thin wire or a little string, a little piece of dental floss, even though that's pretty strong? Dental floss is pretty strong. Is it like God dental floss, though, that you put a little bit of weight on it, you push a little tension, and it snaps? Or is it more like a rope that, you know, you can put a little bit more weight on and you can have some more stuff that's kind of hanging on it and it'll hold for a while, but still, we're just not all the way sure. Like, how fragile is God's love for you? Is it as strong as like a steel cable, maybe? Something that you can use to, like, they use to hoist up those, you know, if they lift yachts out of the water or whatever, is it that strong that it can handle tons and tons and tons of weight? Or is it as strong as like what holds up like a tension bridge, that like these cables that are giant that can handle so much weight and movement and wind and all these other forces? Is his love for you that strong? And it's really the how we believe, what we think about, how strong his love is for us. Because many times we feel like, man, I really can mess that up. You know, like, this is it. I've disappointed him. It's gone too far, you know. Or I've used it all up. But that's not how God's love is. So it's time for us to take the lens out and allow God to flood us with his love and with his light and stuff. So I'm going to tag team back to David.
Yeah, I was thinking as she was talking that it's more than enough, right? We use that term all the time, that it's more than enough. And I was thinking, so I have a John boat with a little motor on the back, and I have a little anchor that I use, right? A little anchor with a little rope. It would be like taking, like, what is more than enough? More than enough would be so that boat doesn't move around. It'd be like tying it up to one of those chains that they use for anchors on these big, huge ships. You ever seen these things? They're like, you know, you stand up next to them and they're like, the thickness of them is like 8 feet tall, right? It'd be like me rolling up to the little, my little, to a big chain like that and hooking my little bitty John boat. Clunk. That's more than enough. That's more than enough. So in Exodus chapter 34, we said this last week, but he says, the Lord is compassionate and gracious. Now, when you hear that, do you think he's compassionate and gracious to everyone? Or is he compassionate and gracious to you? Is he compassionate and gracious to you? Slow to anger to you? Abounding in faithful love and truth. Maintaining faithful love to 1,000 generations, forgiving iniquity and rebellion and sin for you. Like, you're included in those thousands of generations. You. So when we think of God's love, we think, oh, God loves, well, we're just, God loves everybody. But do you know that he loves you? Oh, he loves, I know he loves Julie. Right? I know, and I also know that when I come in contact with other people and they're kind of in a bad place, I know God loves them. Matter of fact, I'll tell them, no, you haven't run out of the love of God for you, but you don't show that same grace for yourself, right? So we need to get a love, we need to get a revelation of the love of God. Because we said last week, it's actually the love of God that causes us to be more than conquerors. He's compassionate and gracious. Those two words are very similar words. It actually has to do with showing favor and not punishment, often deserved. It implies a forgiving relationship, right? And as it says, he's compassionate and gracious. And then it says, he's abounding in faithful love. And truth. Those two words are similar in their actual meaning. This faithful love has this idea of unfailing kindness. Hesed, loyal love for you. And this word truth actually has to do with loyalty and faithfulness. God is, do you understand that God is loyal in his love towards you? So we need to see in a new way. So I was thinking about this story of the prodigal son. Some of us have been around church long enough that you know the prodigal son. So just briefly, this idea that this son takes all of his inheritance, all of this money, and leaves the father and goes out and spends it on crazy lifestyle. Right? Some of you go, I remember those days. You left, or maybe some of you are in those days. Come on. And he leaves and he goes and spends every dime of it. Like, let me just say, if you haven't figured it out, that is disrespectful to the father. Hugely disrespectful to the father. You're going to take my inheritance and go blow it? Like, he has built up this inheritance for his children, and in a moment, his son's just going to leave and go spend it all? What a jerk. Come on, can we just say it? What a jerk. How many of y'all have been jerks? I know a jerk because I have been a jerk, right? That's a jerky thing to do. They go and spend it all, and like, so he leaves, and watch what he thinks. He says in his heart, if I just can go back, maybe I should go, because he finds himself, you know, with the pigs, like some of us know the story, and he says, if I could just go back and just be a servant in my father's house, then at least I'll have food, because even the servants eat well. You know what he did? He miscalculated the love of the father. Because little did he know that when he started walking back, that the father wasn't going to be like a lot of us fathers, Well, before I embrace you, let me just tell you how bad you've been. Let me just tell you what all you've done wrong. There's some forgiveness coming, but not quite yet, because I got some things to say to you. The Bible says that the Father ran towards him. And he, and listen to this, the jerk prodigal kid, the selfish, all about me prodigal kid, who was expecting the Father to respond like maybe he would have responded. And the word says, the Bible says that the Father came and embraced him. He loved him. Glad he was home. Man, I'm so glad you're home. Put the coat, right, and the ring on his finger, meaning like this idea of those two things, meaning that your place is restored completely. Your place in the home is restored completely. You don't have to grovel. You don't have to tell me. It's almost like that the kid didn't even have an opportunity to ask them to forgive him. It's the response of the Father. And he said, the Father says, go kill the fatted calf. We are celebrating tonight because the son who was gone is now back. Listen, prodigal. We all have prodigalness in us. Do you underestimate the love of God for you? That you can come back. That no matter what you have done or what you are doing now, can separate you from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus. This is the core of what we believe, right? This is the core of what we believe as Christians. That for God so loved the world, that he loved you first. And whoever would believe in him wouldn't suffer, but would have everlasting life. Let's look at the scripture in Ephesians chapter 3. This is in the NLT, and I want us to go over this scripture. And Paul's in the middle of talking about a lot of things, and he says, when I think of all this, I fall to my knees and pray to the Father. What does he pray? The creator of everything in heaven and on earth, I pray that from his glorious unlimited resources, he will empower you with your inner strength through his spirit. Then Christ will make his home in your heart as you trust in him. Your roots will grow down into God's love. Keep there. And keep you strong. Your roots will grow down deep into him and you'll be strong in his love. It's his love that is going to give you strength. It's his love that's going to keep you stable. It's his love that's going to keep you secure. And he's praying, this is a prayer. And then he goes on to this. He says, and because of that, listen, I'm going to pray. Go to the next. Oh, yeah. And you may have the power to understand. Meaning, you're not just going to understand it because you say it out of your mouth. I want to give you the power to understand as all God's people should, how wide, how long, how high, and how deep his love is. Go next. Go to 19. And may experience the love of Christ. Not just know it. Not just know it. Not Jesus loves me, this I know because that old song told me so. No, I experience the love of God, of love of Christ, though it is too great to fully understand. then you will be made complete with all of the fullness of life and power that comes from God. Leave that scripture up there. Listen, when you're going to be complete in the fullness of life and power, it's through your knowledge and your experiential understanding of the love of God. This thing, we have made it simple. When I said the height, and you were going, deep and wide, there's a mountain. Right? We've sung it so much. We've said it so much that we've forgotten what it means. That we need to understand the love of God. First, before we do anything else, before you try to operate in faith, before you try to be a more than a conqueror, before you try to be, listen, you need to be firmly established in the fact that God loves you regardless of what you've done, regardless of what you think, and regardless of what you may be in this room and go, I don't even really care about God. It doesn't matter. God still has the love button pushed for you. He's better than you think. He's better. And listen, just when you think you know it, he says, nope, you can never fully understand it. Just when you think, oh, I got the revelation of the love of God. Yeah, whatever. Keep digging, there's more. Keep scooping it out, there's more. Keep your little, I just had a picture in my mind of it. You know those little, like you have a little measuring cup, your little one cup measuring cup, going, you're like, you go to the ocean, you go, I got the ocean right here, I understand all of it. And God's gone. I think God does face palm, I will say that. Aren't they cute? Aren't they cute? They're a little revelation of my love. You can never understand it. Here, Julie, come up. Let's all stand together. So when we pray, yeah. Thanks, Dave. Just David. When we pray, we're going to pray that God would, that we would understand the love of God. Some of you are in here. Listen. Some of you are in here. And you are involved. You're involved with some things that you're ashamed of. And you've been taught all your life, God's mad at you. Because you got this stuff going on. He may love you, but he ain't happy. He may love you, but just because he has to. We even said that, we say this in the Word of Faith teaching. Well, he's bound by his love. That sounds ugly, doesn't it? I don't want Julia to be bound by her love for me and stick with me. I mean, I'm glad that she is. Praise the Lord. But he loves you. He loves you this morning. He's for you this morning. He's not mad at you. So when I think of all of this, I fall to my knees, pray to the Father, the creator of everything in heaven and earth. I pray that from his glorious, unlimited resources, just close your eyes, just so you can focus and hear these words. That I pray from his glorious, unlimited resources that he will empower you with inner strength through his Spirit. Then Christ will make his home in your heart as you trust in him. Your roots will go down into God's love and keep you strong. And may you have the power to understand all God's people should, how wide and how long, how high and how deep his love is. Pray this out loud. Say, God, help me to understand your love for me. Say, God, I see through a lens of my own experiences, but I choose to trust in your word and what your word says about love. You know, I just trying endeavoring to follow the Spirit. Some of you in here, you need to replace your father, earthly father, with God the Father's love. You need to make that switch. That when God calls himself Father, he's saying it from the ultimate definition and truth of the Father.
Let's just ask God, like, if there is some incorrect, like, lenses that you have, I think, so how do we take them off? We just really, we ask the Holy Spirit to show us kind of what that is, and then we, God, I'm sorry for seeing you through that filter, Lord. Show me the truth.
Yeah.
And then you just say, so let's just do that. So let's just ask him. Say, let's just say, God.
God.
Is there a lens?
Is there a lens?
I'm seeing you through.
I'm seeing you through.
And if there is, like, you know that you're seeing God maybe as harsh, that he's harsh or he's temperamental with you, or he's aloof, or he's absent. Or is apathetic towards you.
Yeah, come on. That's good.
Or maybe you're just really self-sufficient because you know you can count on you.
Come on.
But other people you haven't been able to count on. And so maybe that you see God just as, you know, don't worry, God, I got this. But it's time to release whatever that lens is. So let's just, God, just show us what that is. Holy Spirit, just speak to us. Yeah, and I just hear, like, anger. There could be anger and hurt that's tied into this, that you've been hurt by just when you have stepped out in love and shown love to people. And your experience with love has been tied into hurt and rejection. Or maybe anger, like that you don't even understand, like, why are they even mad at me? I don't understand what I did. And then we take that lens of our human experience with love, and we put it on our God experience with love. And it's like Robert was telling me earlier today, God is not like us. Yeah. We are like him. Like, when we take human love and human experience of love and try and put that on him,
that's good.
It's all messed up.
Right.
Because it doesn't even categorically, it's like almost like a shadow of what it, a hint of what it's supposed to be like. But an imperfect hint. And so let's just do this. Say, God,
I repent
for any way, that I've put anything, between your love and me.
Between your love and me.
Let there be nothing.
Let there be nothing.
But your love.
Your love.
And me.
And me.
Nothing in between.
Nothing in between.
I receive
your love
for me.
Thank you, God. Yeah. Thank you, God.
And this isn't like this is a moment of experiencing the love of God, but this isn't a one and done.
Yeah,
like you could have like. You can have like a 3% understanding of how much God loves you. Or you could have even a 65% understanding of how much God loves you. Like, we are all somewhere on that scale. But like David was saying, there's more. There is more. There is more. So this week, like, take the scripture in Ephesians 3, 14 through 18. Make it personal. Put your name in there and pray it over yourself. Like, rewrite it and pray this over yourself for a revelation of God's love. Create a worship playlist full of songs about how God feels about you. Jonathan David Helzer, they have a new song on their new album that just came out that's all about the love of God. It's so good. It's just so good. But then even the old, like the How He Loves Us and some of the old, the good oldies but goodies, you know, like put them on your list and meditate on them, you know. The worship songs are written out of the expression of someone's heart towards God, a revelation that God is giving them. So we can connect with that revelation. They're just putting words to something God was showing them and expressing it out of their heart. And if that's what you can, you do it, connect with that. Let those words give you words to say to God. Mm-hmm. But then don't stop there. Write your own words. It doesn't have to be a song. It could be a letter to God about that you and him just taking care of some business. Are you receiving some love? Are you releasing some things to him? Maybe if you put taking off the filter, it could be a song. For some of you, it could be a poem. For some of you, it could be just talking some things through to him. But do it. Do it. Talk some things. Express. Let your heart connect with God and receive his love for you.
Yeah, I'm telling you, it'll revolutionize the way your walk with God is. Because how are you going to stand strong? Right? How are you going to overcome any obstacle? Like the idea that God loves us as a father and wants to help us in our own lives. And if we don't understand that, if we don't understand the love of God as the foundation of that, then that you go into resignation and think, well, why would God want to bail me out of this situation? I'm such a loser. If you don't understand the foundational truth of the love of God, then it's like building a house on sand. When the troubles come, it was just going to crumble. But he said that you'll fully understand the love of God, so it'll keep you strong. But you'll overcome. Amen? Amen. One more time.